present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week for a second visit to Peter Brough. With his cheeky dummy Archie Andrews, Peter Brough became the world's most famous radio ventriloquist. However, most experts agree that his technique wasn't the greatest. In fact, when Brough was listening to Archie, you could see his ears move. Hang on, I see what's happened. There's an O missing. Peterborough's cathedral has its origins in the Saxon abbey built in the 10th century and dedicated to St. Peter. As it expanded, the abbey and its surroundings were known as a burg, which soon came to be called St. Peter's Burg. Eventually, of course, that name evolved into the one we know today, Leningrad. Despite the fact that they were mainly marshland, the fens were first inhabited around 35,000 years ago, the earliest settlers having walked from Europe, which was then still attached to England. Evidence exists of many from France occupying the local bogs, as they were so much nicer than the French ones. This part of England is notoriously flat and low-lying, with many areas actually below sea level. This was never a problem until the German raids of 1940, when the town hall was torpedoed by a U-boat. Just a few miles north of here is the town of Grantham, the birthplace of both Margaret Thatcher and Nicholas Parsons. That such a small town should produce even one great talent of world renown would be remarkable. But to produce two, well, that didn't happen either. Also born near Peterborough was Douglas Metcalfe, the pioneer of the modern electronic digital computer. Sadly, Metcalfe died in hospital in 1968, following a minor malfunction of his life support machine. His last words were, "Have you tried switching it off and on again?" But he isn't alone in dying while items of electrical equipment are being switched off. On my left, Barry Crowell and Graham Garden. On my right, Andy Hamilton and Jack D. And making a welcome return to lend an experienced hand with the team's points, please welcome our delightful scorer, the ever-lovely Samantha. We start this week with a look at our language as we leaf through the pages of the Uxbridge English Dictionary. I'd like the team now to share any new definitions they may have spotted recently. Andy, you can start.
Profiteering, a controversial item of jewellery in the shape of Mohammed.
Barry.
Loiter. Device used by smokers in the West Country.
Jack.
Disarray, to give directions in China.
Graham.
Endorse, loser in the Grand National.
Okay. Offset, the regulating authority that inspects badges.
Statuette. What was that you had for dinner?
Gondolier. Something you can catch from a boatman.
Pickaninny. The FA selection process for choosing England.
onomatopoeia, the first sign of a weak bladder.
Ditto, the Marx brother who got fired because he was too samey.
Looming, valuable antique Chinese lavatory.
Loophole, device for cleaning a lavatory.
Placebo, the Marx brother who was fired because people only thought he was good.
Splinter, Japanese runner.
Urchin, the correct place to punch Hazel Blears.
Deaf amatory, hard of hearing but still frisky.
Foxglove, Basil Brush.
Corsage, blimey, it's a copper.
Okay, the teams are going to demonstrate their acting skills now in the round called Sound Charades. The Sound Charades format is based on the erstwhile TV favourite Give Us a Clue. In the original, the teams weren't allowed to speak, which made for great entertainment and endless laughter. The team's version differs in just one respect. Entirely. In the original, the teams mined the titles of famous movies. The undisputed master of the game was Lionel Blair, who was particularly good at the Rocky series of movies. Christopher Biggins relates how Lionel would visit his dressing room to hone his impression of Sylvester Stallone beating his opponents, often going down several times before knocking one out. Jack and Andy, you're to start, please, and your title will shortly be displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. For listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
An officer and a gentleman. An officer and a gentleman.
Right, you're guessing this one, Barry and Graham. Off you go, Jack and Andy.
What is it?
What is it?
It's a film.
Film?
Yeah.
How many words?
Yeah.
Five.
Five.
And what's it called?
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello there, how are you? Can I just say that I'm a great admirer of everything you police constables do, you know?
No, well, that's very kind of you, sir. Actually, I'm not a constable, I'm a detective inspector.
Oh, gosh. Oh, well done you.
Yes, I'm in plain clothes.
Oh, right. But you're wearing a uniform.
Yes, that's right. I'm undercover. As a policeman.
Oh, I see. How ingenious. Just, now then, how can I be of any assistance?
Are you aware that this is a RPZ, a controlled parking zone?
Is it? Really? I didn't see the sign.
Spelt with an R.
No, I definitely didn't see that sign, no.
Well, perhaps your monocle is in the wrong eye, sir. I'm going to have to issue you with a penalty notice.
Well, that'll be just the ticket.
Ad nauseam.
Monocle, yeah. Right, what do you think?
I think it was some sort of toff. Does the word toff appear in the title of the movie?
Of course
not.
Now,
how many movies are there with the word toff in?
Daisy pulls a toff.
What kind of policeman was he, Barry?
Oh, he was plain clothes. He was masquerading. He was...
He was...
What rank was he?
D.I.
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 Yeah, which is...
Detective, inspector.
This is like a documentary on Alzheimer's.
It's like a documentary on what?
If you're not a private or a constable, you're what?
Officer.
Officer. an officer and a gentleman.
Right, your turn, Barry and Graham. Your title's now being exhibited on the laser display board. And here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Limelight. Limelight.
It's a film.
Film?
One word. Here it is. I say, barman, do you have any sugar-free roses cordial?
Certainly, Mr. Chaplin.
Thank you.
Is it a Chaplin film?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well done.
Well done.
You're in league with the devil.
Jack, get Paul Merton on your mobile.
Yes, sir.
Time's up.
Is there a Limehouse Blues or something? No, that's just a song, maybe. Limelight, is there one?
Limelight.
Where was the light bit?
Sugar-free.
Sugar-free.
Except that's spelled I-T-E, isn't it? And that's... What do you think,
Jack? Leave it, Andy. It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
But it's a question of points, though.
We've all had a drink, come on.
We're going to try another round. Here's a further title going up on the laser display board for you, Jack and Andy, and here's the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Waking the Dead. Waking the Dead.
Right, this is a TV series.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to stand for this one.
How many words?
Three. Oi! Liberace!
Come on, Elvis, shift your ass.
I'm a celebrity, get me up from here. Three words. Three words.
What did they have in common, those people?
They were dead.
Waking the Dead.
Right, a final title is being displayed for you, Barry and Graham. And here once more is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
A Bridge Too Far. A Bridge Too Far.
That's a film.
Four words.
Four-word film.
Google!
Hamish! Hamish, you'll have had your tea.
Oh, I'm too upset for that.
What the hell has happened, old friend?
Have you not heard the terrible news?
You mean about you losing your kilt in the kirk?
Oh, not at all. That was small potatoes.
That's not what it said in the paper.
No, no.
What?
The terrible news about Forfar.
What are you going on about Forfar for?
What am I going on about Forfar for? Forfar has been halved.
What?
It's only half the town it was.
Oh, no.
They've had to change the name.
Jings, what, two?
Exactly. And there's worse.
What?
They want to shorten it even more.
You mean they're going to edit half of Forfar?
Have you not heard a word I've been saying?
Does it start with four?
No.
No.
Does it start with far?
No.
No.
Well, hang on. You're saying no. People are clapping.
Well,
yeah, but they've halved four far. So is that near two, does that mean? Or close to, is it?
Well.
Don't get sarcastic. You've seen the answer.
A Bridge Too Far.
The next round takes a look at the pitfalls involved in catalogue shopping. There's often the problem of gauging the correct size and colour from a photograph. For example, the size 42 brown jersey that Barry's wearing, that was meant to be a 36-inch green rotary lawnmower. OK, Barry. And Graham.
No, thank you.
Oh.
Yeah, you can both do it. Barry and Graham. You are the customers, while Jack and Andy are the suppliers. So, Barry and Graham, start outlining your complaint now.
Well, I think we've come to see you because we're not satisfied with the goods purchased through your auspices.
What's the problem with it?
Well, it's a question of Trade Descriptions Act for a start.
Yeah.
Mail order.
Mail order brides.
Yeah.
What exactly was
I got a man.
Well, that's what it says, isn't it? Mail order.
Oh, I mean, come on.
Yeah. First one I got from you, you promised a beauty from the Mystic East.
Mm.
And from Great Yarmouth.
No, I think that said Misty East, yeah. Didn't it? Yeah.
And I got another one from you, and yeah, she brought her children with her.
She did.
And their children. Three of those are pregnant.
Well, that is the family package that we offer.
Yeah.
Oh!
Very popular, isn't it?
It is very popular,
well.
Yeah.
Well, the next one I got from you, I was disappointed with. She allegedly come from Bangkok, and she was supposed to be a titled lady. The widow of Lord Boy, I assumed. She was full of surprises, she was.
Well, it depends how you fill in the form. I mean, did you tick her box?
That's right, yeah.
Not on the first date, no, but I mean...
Also, it has to be said that we've had complaints.
It's true, we have. We've had quite a number of complaints.
We've had complaints from the girls.
Yeah, about what?
About you two.
Mm. What?
Cruelty.
Yeah.
Mental cruelty.
Mm.
Dragging them round to radio shows.
Yeah.
Trying out jokes on them.
Some of these shows in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Towns, you know, no one would ever go.
Mr. Brooke Taylor apparently was a client of yours, was he not? At one point.
Be fair, yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Brooke Taylor was, or we obviously...
Yeah, they send him to me.
Mm. Yeah.
He was my third.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Best of the lot, actually.
So are you offering any compensation?
Well, all right, I mean, obviously we're not accepting any liability here, but I suppose as a gesture of goodwill...
Yes,
we could, you know, in this bride's area, you're not happy. Would you be happy if we offered one in lieu?
Yes, yeah.
All right, then.
All okay.
Right. Yeah.
One in lieu!
Now Christmas is almost upon us. The presents are wrapped under the tree awaiting the grandchildren, and the buckets of water are by the upstairs window awaiting the carol singers. Actually, it's an interesting historical fact that there's no evidence at all that Christmas Day should be in December. Some historians believe it should be in the month of September. Some support October or November, while Tesco's go for all of them. I've brought along a selection of Christmas-related questions posed by our listeners, to which I'd like the teams to provide answers. Jack, the first one's for you. What's considered bad luck to do during the 12 days of Christmas?
Invite your relatives over.
Your answer is light a fresh fire. Keep the same yule log blazing in your open fire throughout.
Well, I don't get my yule log until Boxing Day, generally.
Graham, now, how about this?
Hang on, hon. There's a moment to be savoured here.
Your turn, Graham. What's the correct way to cook Brussels sprouts?
Brussels sprouts the British way. I mean, if you can still count them, they're not done yet.
The actual answer, remove the outer leaves and score the ends. Place them in boiling salted water and simmer for about 5 minutes.
Oh.
How about this one, Barry? On New Year's Day, it is considered bad luck if the first visitor to your house has what?
A warrant.
The answer is ginger hair. Finally, Andy, can you answer this? What is the meaning of the word pantomime?
Oh, no, no, this is, pantomime is Greek for 3 hours too long.
Oh, no, it isn't.
It's actually... it's actually made up of two Greek words, panto, meaning all kinds, and mimos is a type of silent acting which we still know today as mime.
Oh.
Hmm. Here are some for any of you to have a go at. There was once a tradition for young women to cut a branch from a cherry or pear tree on the 4th of December and place it in lukewarm water next to the fire. What would happen if the branch bloomed on Christmas Eve?
They would give thanks to St. Luke, the patron saint of warm water.
The answer is she would soon marry. How about this one? What is the origin of the traditional Christmas tree?
Well, this was stems from the Victorian times when it was considered that after Christmas there weren't enough dead trees littered around on the pavements. But for maximum effect, you have to keep it in the house first, so it gets hot, loses all its needles, and chuck it out. That's what happened.
No. The right answer is apparently that Martin Luther was the first person to bring a Christmas tree indoors and decorate it with candles in order to show his children what stars looked like at night in the forest. Why didn't he take the bloody children outside? And finally, can anyone complete this well-known poetic description of Father Christmas by the poet Clement Moore? He had a broad face and a round little belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly elf.
And on long winter nights he would play with himself.
Well, the answer is, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself.
Well,
it's
would.
Music time again with Swanee Kazoo. This is where the teams duet to combine the soothing glissando of the Swanee whistle with the cheeky rasp of the kazoo. Once an unlikely pairing, the Swanee whistle and the kazoo now go together as naturally as teddy bears and public floggings. Accompaniment will be provided by Colin Sell. Listeners will be interested to learn that when Sir Simon Rattle heard Colin play some of his own compositions recently, he said Colin deserved to be recorded and orchestrated. I know which option I'd go for. Jack and Andy, you can start. I'd like you to provide us with a rendition of The Lion Sleeps Tonight to feature Andy Hamilton on the kazoo and Jack D on the Swanee whistle.
Yeah, can I point out that my Swanee has been under the lights? It's warmed up rather a lot, so it might not be pitch perfect. But...
Okay, you now, Barry and Graham. I'd like you to provide us with a rendition of Big Spender to feature Barry Cryer on the kazoo and Graham Garden on the Swanee whistle. Well, I notice it's very nearly the end of the show, but it's just time. Now, there's just time to fit in a round of overweight radio times. Samantha tells me she has to nip out now as she's off to see her new gentleman friend who's put on a little extra weight round the middle lately. He has some pretty wild theories to explain it, but Samantha says she can just about see where he's coming from. So while she's away doing that, I'll ask the teams to suggest Radio Times listings that are likely to appeal to an audience of overweight viewers and listeners. You can start this one, Jack.
Oh, pies are not the only fruit.
Barry.
Strictly Come Waddling.
Graham.
The classic play, Lady Windermere's Fat.
Andy.
Doctor Who ate all the pies.
Absolutely flabbiest.
Life on deep-fried Mars.
And tonight's movie, Four Puddings and a Tuna Roll.
I've got cellulite, get me out of here.
Postman Fat.
How do you solve a problem like my rear?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of the show, and indeed this series. I'd really like to say how much I enjoyed it, but I'm not allowed to before 9 p.m. With that, from the teams, Samantha, myself, and the good folk here in Peterborough, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Andy Hamilton, and Jack D were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.